Policy Committee, Representative Wolgamott, do you have a motion for us?
I do have a motion, Mr. Chair. I would like to move the minutes.
Representative Wolgamott moves the minutes of the previous meeting. Is there any discussion to the motion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The minutes are adopted. Members, today we're going to have the Mid-State capital investment requests, and I think we're having Bill Mackey and Brian Yolitz, if they'd come up. Gentlemen, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record, and members, I think you have in your packet a couple of documents to go over as they proceed. Vice Chancellor Mackey.
Thank you, Chair Pawlowski, committee. Good morning. I am Bill Mackey, and I serve the Colleges and Universities of Minnesota State as the Vice Chancellor for Finance and Facilities. I would like to acknowledge other folks that are in the room with us this morning. We have several of our colleagues here from the interfaculty organization, the IFO, with us. We have Jeff Wild, who's the Vice President for Advancement and Outreach at Alexandria Technical and Community College. And we have with us four of our college and university presidents. President Scott Olson from Winona State University, President Ginny Arthur from Metro State University, President Sharon Pierce from Minneapolis College, and we have with us Joy Bodine, who yesterday at our Board of Trustees meeting was named permanent president of Hennepin Technical College. So we'd like to welcome them to the meeting as well. So moving into our presentation, Minnesota State's capital investment request for this legislative session is one many members may be familiar with. It's essentially our 2022 capital program request with three programmatic changes and project costs adjusted for inflation based on Minnesota management and budget guidance. The total capital program request is $348.7 million. This includes $173.7 million in higher education asset preservation and replacement, or HEPR funding, for priority asset preservation work at college and university campuses across the state. The balance of the request, $175 million, are funds specific for design and or construction work for 19 individual projects depicted by the green stars on this map of Minnesota. There's 20 stars. Two of the campuses are in Minnesota West, which is in the southwest part of the state. Just over half of these either fund construction of design work funded in prior sessions, four of them in either the 2018 or the 2020 session, or fully funds design and construction of campus projects now. The remaining eight fund designs now in preparation for construction funding requests in the future. Of note, 12 of these campus projects were included in capital investment requests in 2020 and 2022. All have completed pre-designs and are ready to move forward now. Of note, there are no new buildings in this request. The investment priorities are for facilities and spaces already in place, making them more efficient to operate and serve students. In fact, if fully executed, the projects will reduce the overall academic footprint in our system by more than 50,000 square feet. I also would add that many components of these projects are addressing deferred maintenance of HEPR type look, as our campuses, as they look at their renovations, are focusing heavily on also addressing the significant deferred maintenance backlog that Associate Vice Chancellor Yolitz will describe a bit later in the presentation. Given our one-third shared debt responsibility, as you look in the bottom of the slide, this request seeks general obligation funding of $290.4 million with $58.3 million in user financing by Minnesota State for the 19 individual projects. Given the focus of this committee, we'll provide some additional detail and context on user financing before going into the elements of the capital request. By statute, Minnesota State is responsible for one-third of the cost of individual major capital projects at our colleges and university, and is accounted for with Minnesota State as user financing. The balance, two-thirds of individual project costs, is financed by the state of Minnesota. This provision does not apply to asset preservation work funding with HEPR appropriations. Within Minnesota State, the user financing responsibility is shared equally between the system as a whole and individual institutions. One half of the user financing responsibility, or one sixth of the project cost, is paid at the system level from state appropriations to Minnesota State. And the other one half is funded by the college or university where the capital project occurs. This portion is paid from campus operating funds made up of state appropriation and tuition revenues. An example, as you on the bottom part of this slide, would be that a $9 million project for a college or university would see state funding for two-thirds or $6 million, and Minnesota State being responsible for one-third of user financing amount of $3 million. Minnesota State's user financing portion would be shared equally with $1.5 million funded by the system as a whole and $1.5 million by the gaining institution. The user financing includes payment of both principal and interest associated with the financing of the general obligation bonds issued by Minnesota Management and Budget. As a snapshot of Minnesota State's user financing, at the end of fiscal year 2022, the user financing outstanding balance from past major capital projects was $171.8 million, and the annual debt service payment that year, including both principal and interest, was $27 million. From a system perspective, this annual debt service amount is roughly 1.9% of college and university total state appropriation and tuition revenues. The specific impact on an institution's operating budget depends on the size of the college or university and their history of major capital projects. But generally, the debt service burden for a college or university ranges from just below 1% to slightly more than 3% of their total state appropriation and tuition revenues. If all the major capital projects in the Minnesota State 2023 request were funded, Minnesota State would be responsible for $58.3 million in user financing and would incur an estimated $1.4 million in additional debt service payments over time on an annual basis. This cost would be apportioned through the cost sharing practice outlined in the previous slide. If the entire $1.4 million in new debt service for these projects was attributed to just tuition revenues, that would equate to approximately 0.2% on an annual basis. Mr. Chair, with your permission, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Brian Yolitz, Associate Vice Chancellor for Facilities. And
Vice Chancellor Mackey, before we do that, if this provision was repealed, explain what would happen.
Chair Pelosi, if this provision was repealed, going forward, campuses would not have to budget in their operating budgets the cost of the debt service. And then assuming that the existing obligations would still be due, the amount of money that comes off the top, so to speak, to fund the system-wide portion would lessen over time, and more of that funding would go directly to our colleges and universities.
And Vice Chancellor, what would the impact be on tuition then?
The impact of our total debt right now and over a period of when this would be fully implemented, if it was passed, it equates to about 2 percentage points worth the tuition when we look at our split between appropriation and tuition revenues.
And Vice Chancellor Mackey, we had this discussion in capital investment, and this is going to be an ongoing discussion, but this was put in place approximately when?
It was put in place close to when Minnesota State Colleges and Universities were formed in 1996, soon after that. And we believe the intent was to slow down the requests for new buildings during that time by sharing some of the obligation with the colleges and universities and the system.
And Vice Chancellor Mackey, what was the result?
Chair Pelosi, I believe over time and where we are today, I don't think there was a significant impact on what our capital program was moving forward. And I would opine that as we look at it over the last 10 years or even more, As I mentioned previously, many of these projects have a significant HEPR component of it, and the HEPR component of it is not subject to debt. So many campuses have chosen to submit projects where they're paying debt on what essentially would be HEPR work, but because we have not been successful in obtaining as much HEPR funding as we need, our best option was to start paying debt on it to try to get some of that work done.
Just for everyone on the committee, we are drafting legislation to repeal this, and that will hopefully be part of our omnibus bill. Now, whether it will be done here or in capital investment, we're not quite sure yet, but it's going to be done in one or the other. Representative Knorr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The other question that I have is, currently we have the $171.8 million debt that under the UF. Is there any plan for us to settle that debt? You know, in terms of making sure that there's not ongoing if we repeal the user financing.
Vice Chancellor Mackey.
Chair Pelosi, Representative Neuer. I'm not familiar of the yet of what the exact scope of the request is. At least the working assumption that I've had is that we would still be responsible for our old debt. Obviously, in the best interest of Minnesota State, if we were able to take care of the past debt and start off at zero, that would be most beneficial for us financially, but I'm not sure what the direction of the committee and the proposed bill is.
Representative Knorr, I think it also depends on what target we're going to get and whether it's going to be part one time or ongoing. So that discussion is still, as you know, going on. Representative Knorr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we should also be looking in terms of making this a continuous savings for the Min State if we're going to be removing the user financing. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Cleburne.
Thank you. So as I look at this amount of money, this is a huge driver to the cost that you are charging overall. Is that correct?
Vice Chancellor.
Mr. Chair, Representative Cleburne. Depending on the college or the university, it is a factor as the annual annual debt service is an expenditure in the annual budget, so it does factor in tuition considerations and others. It varies, so it's overall, as I think we mentioned, it's about on average about 2% of total cost, but it varies depending. The universities, I think, have a wider range because they have larger physical plants where they have more capital projects that happen on a regular basis.
Representative Cleburne.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then one of the things that I was just speaking to someone else about were, you know, we have put into past legislation workforce grants and things like that, that the students would come to your institutions, but there are insufficient professors and classes to meet the needs that we are asking you to meet. If we free up these funds for you, would that enable you the opportunity to hire the professors and do the programming necessary to fill those other needs that you currently do not have capacity for?
Vice Chancellor Mackey.
Mr. Chair, Representative Cleburne, I believe it would be a positive factor and be able to invest more in those areas. I would say it would be dependent on the college and university. And from a macro level, when they're setting their budgets, they would have more ability and flexibility by not having to reallocate as much funding for inflation or new investments, because they would see that 2 or 3 or 4% savings depending on the institution.
Thank you.
All right, proceed.
Good morning, Chair Pelosi and committee. I'm Brian Yolitz, and I serve the Colleges and Universities of Minnesota State as Associate Vice Chancellor for Facilities. It's good to be with you to review the capital request for Minnesota State. Before getting too deep into the details of the request, it's important to know the priorities are the result of a disciplined process, one rooted in ongoing campus facilities planning, which are documented in 5-year cycles in individual college and university comprehensive facilities plans, or CFPs. In March of 2020, in preparation for the 2022 legislative session, our Board of Trustees adopted guidelines for developing a request and priorities. Institutions then reviewed their CFPs and prepared pre-designs for their candidate capital projects. These candidate projects were then scored by representatives from across the Minnesota State system against the board guidelines. The results informed Chancellor Malhotra's recommendation to our Board of Trustees, who reviewed and approved the request in June of 2021. And the program was submitted to the state of Minnesota's capital budget system. Of note, not all projects submitted for consideration made it to the board's approved request. During the fall of 2021, we hosted members of the House and Senate Capital Investment Committees and representatives from the Governor's Office and Minnesota Management Budget staff on nearly 50 campus tours of campuses across the state to see firsthand our priorities. With no bonding bill emerging from our 2022 legislative session, we reviewed project and program needs with campus leaders during the summer and the fall of 2022 and affirmed the priorities. In November of 2022, Chancellor Malhotra recommended and gained approval of our board of Trustees for this legislative session. Changes of note from the 2022 request include: one, a scope and cost increase at Pine Technical and Community College to account for circulation within the campus in alignment with the city traffic patterns, changing the Lake Superior project request from design only to a construction request, reflecting the pressing need to leave leased space in downtown Duluth, and then postponing the request for design funds at North Hennepin Community College to reflect changing college and community priorities. Earlier this month, MMB released their inflationary guidance to take into account supply chain, material and labor shortages, and applied the methodology to our program resulting in the request before you today. Please use the handout we've got in your packet as a guide as we walk through some of the priorities. Looks like this, I believe it's in your packet. Asset preservation or HEPR funding for investment in existing academic facilities we operate and need is our number one priority. HEPR funding is critical to keeping our campuses warm, safe, and dry. And please know sound facilities play an important role in recruiting and retaining students, faculty, and staff. This priority funds 65 asset preservation projects at 38 college and university campuses, ranging from major HVAC replacements at Alexandria Technical and Community College to roof replacement, chiller plan overhaul, and fuel tank replacement at Winona State University. In terms of background, in the bonding years 2014 through 2022, Minnesota State requested a total of $650 million in HEPR funding to take care of existing academic facilities. During that period, we have received $158.8 million, or 24% of our requested amount for asset preservation in facilities we own and operate. As a result, the estimated backlog of maintenance in Minnesota State academic facilities grew to nearly $1.2 billion. There is an additional renewal need of $1.3 million in the next 10 years as we look to the future. As a result, the total 10-year renewal for Minnesota State academic facilities is roughly $2.5 billion. Similarly, we're seeing individual project needs grow. In our 2020 request, the average project cost was roughly $1.6 million, where in this request, the average project cost is $2.6 million, given the combination of project complexity and inflation, and to some extent, low funding in previous years where we trimmed project scopes to help stretch funding to touch as many campuses as possible. I can't emphasize enough how important HEPR funding is to our colleges and universities. Those who have visited campuses have seen, heard about, and sometimes could smell firsthand the need we have on campus. This session, HEPR funding cannot be strong enough. I can't underscore that enough. And what is needed going forward is strong, consistent, and predictable funding to allow college and university leaders to properly plan and manage your campus facilities. The next four priorities in our 2023 capital program request fund construction of design work funded in prior legislative sessions. At Minnesota State University Moorhead, construction funding acts upon design funded in 2018 and renovates 30,000 square feet of Weld Hall in the heart of campus, supporting the university's English, music, cinematography, and publishing programs while enhancing accessibility for students, employees, and the public, reducing the building's backlog of maintenance by nearly $8.2 million. Priority number three is for construction at Inverhills Community College and renovation of their technology and business buildings, 32,000 square feet, for high-demand programs, including science and technology, engineering and math, or STEM programs, information technology, cybersecurity, agriculture, and paralegal fields. Design funding for this was also provided in 2018. Construction funding for Minneapolis College, a key interest for President Pierce, at priority number four, renovates the Management Education Center to support and expand their ongoing partnership with Metropolitan State University and the delivery of baccalaureate programs in the metro area. Finally, at priority number five, funds renovation and construction of new space at Pine Technical and Community College to accommodate growing technical trade programs, including advanced manufacturing, automotive and health sciences, and nursing, medical assistance, and EMT. Priority six, design at St. Paul College's academic excellence renovation through priority 13, the Metropolitan State University Cybersecurity Lab renovation. We're all on our capital program requests for 2020 and 2022, but we're ultimately not funded. Of note, after relatively modest but important renovation projects at that Vermilion campus of Minnesota North College, the East Grand Forks campus of Northland Community and Technical College, and the Brainerd campus of Central Lakes College, is a request for design and initial renovation work to replace Armstrong Hall at Minnesota State University Mankato. Armstrong Hall is the main academic facility at the MSU campus and has exceeded its useful life and needs to be replaced to create a smaller, more efficient and flexible classroom space to best serve the university through the 21st century. Similarly, the request for design for the Center for Interdisciplinary Collaboration, Engagement, and Learning, or CECL, at Winona State University, replaces two buildings at the WSU campus and aims to create a net zero facility when complete. As noted earlier, funding for Lake Superior's Integrated Manufacturing Workforce Labs at number 12 is now a renovation and construction project to provide technical spaces on campus to relocate machine tool, welding, computer-aided design, electronics, and civil engineering programs from off-campus lease space in downtown Duluth that will no longer be available after 2024. Finally, in this group, is priority number 13 is a request to fund design and renovation of existing space in support of the cybersecurity lab at Metropolitan State University. Finally, priorities 14 through 20, beginning with the request for design and renovation and construction of transportation trades and student services spaces at Alexandria Technical and Community College, through the request for renovations in Hutchinson for programs including healthcare and construction trades, as well as student services spaces for those attending Ridgewater College, are all new requests from our 2022 program. Pre-designs are complete on these projects. The request for Alexandria, Southwest Minnesota State University, Rochester Community and Technical College, and Minnesota West Community and Technical Colleges are for design this session and will seek construction funding in the future. Finally, projects requests for Riverland and Ridgewater Colleges would fully fund the design and renovation of campus facilities yet this session. Again, the total program request for 2023 is $348.7 million. Chair Pawlowski and committee, just want to quickly turn to what we've done with past funding, and we thank this committee and your colleagues for capital investments in our colleges and universities in 2020, the special session that produced a bonding bill for us. Minnesota State received more than $90 million in capital investments in our academic facilities. This funding has made a difference. The $46 million in HEPA funding enabled design and reconstruction of nearly 60 projects at 39 college and university campuses across the state. The vast majority of this work is complete, making our campus academic facilities warm, safe, and dry, and having designs ready for construction as soon as funding is available this session or in the future. In addition, funding for four college campuses, the renovation for both Anoka Ramsey Community College Business and Nursing Building and the Normandale Community College Classroom and Student Services Spaces are complete, are being enjoyed by students, faculty, and staff as we speak. In addition, designs for projects at Minneapolis College and Pine Technical and Community College, as you heard, are complete and ready for renovation and construction funding this session. Chair Pawlowski and committee, this concludes our formal presentation of the Minnesota State 2023 capital investment request. as we recap and a recap of our past funding. We thank you for your time and attention today and look forward to not only working with you and your colleagues this session in the weeks ahead, but also hosting you on campus as you work, do your work in the future. We look forward to any questions you may have. Again, thank you for your time and attention.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a question, a couple of them actually, but the first one is the number 16, Southwest Minnesota State University Wellness and Human Performance Center. What's a human performance center?
Mr. Chair.
Which one? Okay. Mr. Yolitz.
Representative Scott, indeed, that's they've got a host of athletic training and physical therapy programs. That's human performance.
Okay.
It's a broad umbrella of all things body and movement.
Okay, thank you for that clarification.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then on the final page with all the projects from the 2020 capital investment bill, how many of these projects are actually completed, and how many of them are still waiting to happen?
So in terms of, we had four, I'll work from the individual project lines, the projects at Anoka Ramsey and at Normandale College are complete. Those renovations are done. We've got nursing students in the facilities at Anoka Ramsey, and the student services and classrooms at Normandale College are top of the line. They're terrific and welcoming students now. The other two are for the design, and they're ready to go for construction funding this session for Pine Technical Community College as well as Minneapolis College. In terms of HEPR, all that money has been deployed or allocated to campus projects. About 80% of those are now complete, and we're in the, and the balance is either in financial closeout or a nearing completion of construction.
Okay, thank you.
Representative McDonald.
Mr. Chair, to be sure, I certainly believe it's very important for asset preservation for our institutions and structural institutions. But a question on page, I guess there's no page, regarding Winona State University, the center, same question that Representative Scott had, if you could clarify the Center for Interdisciplinary Collaboration, Engagement, and Learning Design. I'm sure that's very important for $5 million. I'm just curious if you could.
Vice Chancellor.
Mr. Chair, Representative McDonald, indeed. Winona State University has got a very unique delivery model where they integrate math and arts in delivering a host of programs, and that's under the broad heading of interdisciplinary, where they bring multiple programs together and share and learn off of each other in the delivery of everything from marketing to modeling to computer-aided design. It's a broad spectrum of programming on campus. And if I would offer to the chair, President Olson could provide a great deal of information on that project.
Yes.
We may not have enough time in the committee for that, but
I think
there may be a conversation.
President Olson's here. Would you like to have President Olson come up?
Mr. Chair, that'd be great.
Sorry. And while he's coming up, Representative Davids, President Olson has agreed to be inducted into the Anti-Flat Roof Society. We appreciate his induction. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Chair Pawlowski, I'm Scott Olson, Representative McDonald. In fact, this building is designed to have a very steeply pitched roof, so we're pretty excited about that. This was characterized correctly by Associate Vice Chancellor Yolitz. The building is an intersection of computer science, math and statistics, and design. And these fields are in increasing demand in Minnesota, and particularly in southeastern Minnesota. So, for example, we work very closely with the Mayo Clinic to do bioinformatic modeling, which involves elements of computer science, math, statistics, and design. The current facilities we have, Associate Vice Chancellor Yolitz can correct me on this, but I believe one of the two buildings that we would need to tear down to do this project has, last I checked, the worst, if not one of the worst, composite financial index scores in our system. It's a old building that's trying to house computer science and trying to house state-of-the-art statistics, and it is just not up to the task. So that building would be taken down and where it sits would become a geothermal field. And then Gildemeister Hall would come down and be replaced by this Cecil building that has been described. And as was indicated, it's an energy net zero building. The building generates its own energy, which we think is a long-term great investment for the taxpayers, helps us control tuition, helps us keep the place going. So I hope that answers your question. I'm happy to talk to you after the meeting if you need more detail.
Thank you. Thank you, President Olson. Yes, that did answer my question. I appreciate it.
Representative Wolgamott.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and thank you to the Vice Chancellor and the Associate Vice Chancellor. This is a very powerful graphics in front of us. I want to note that I think it is a real failure on the part of our state that we have only – I want to bring everyone's attention back to page 7. I just really feel it's a failure of our state that we have only funded asset preservation requests at 24% over the past 10 years. And then as a result, deferred maintenance has grown by 63%. To our testifiers, again, thank you for putting very succinctly and clearly in charts just how far behind that we are in funding these requests. My question to you is, these charts are great. Can you shed some light on what this means in practicality? What does this only 24% of the requests being funded, what does deferred maintenance having grown by 63%, what does that mean for the students in our colleges and universities? What does that mean for our faculty members who are trying to teach and trying to do their jobs? These numbers on the chart that we see here, what does that mean in actuality for the conditions that our faculty are trying to teach in and that our students are trying to learn in?
Vice Chancellor
Yolen. Mr. Chair, Representative Wolgamott, I'll start, and if Vice Chancellor Mackey has some additional comments based on his experience, certainly encourage that. But first off, our campuses are running less efficient than they could be. So mechanical systems are not up to standard. So we're using more energy, So it goes to the bottom line on our utility bills. More maintenance and repair as needed to be done, a drag on the operating budget. And then the environment sometimes in our classrooms are stuffy, warm, cold, depending on the day. So it is an impediment on the way our campus classrooms and offices operate. And they're also with our roofs, we've got leaky roofs. So the cleanup when we have a major rainstorm or a heavy thaw, leaking onto our carpets, ceiling tiles, I think some of you walked around some of the campuses. I think you're very familiar with St. Cloud State University and some of the challenges there. Indeed, caused an additional drag, having to clean all that up, replace carpet, replace ceiling tiles, the money that could be used for in the classroom and program delivery.
Representative Wolgamott.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for that explanation. And you know, I just want to make sure that a lot during this committee we're talking about enrollment and the crisis that we're facing in enrollment on our campuses. And there are many factors to that, but I think one of them is directly a result from the lack of investments in HEPR and asset preservation. Who wants to pay money to go and spend time in a place where, you know, there's rain coming down or it's, you know, uncomfortably cold or uncomfortably hot? You know, this might be you know, not exactly the big, flashy, shining object that always gets our attention, but it is so important that, you know, that we recognize that this is a factor for one of many factors, but an important factor of why we're facing an enrollment crisis. And the last thing that I would like to note, Mr. Chair, is in looking through these program priorities, this list of 20 projects, I have not yet had the opportunity to visit any 19 of these 20 sites. But I just want to note, Mr. Chair and committee members, that project number 17, the St. Cloud State University Education Learning Design Complex Design, the Education and Learning Design, I am astounded to see this is number 17 because this is in, the building is so dated, you know, they can't get internet there because the walls are too, it's ridiculous. And so if that's number 17, I can't even imagine what the first 16 projects are. We have got to come together through this committee, and for those of us who are on the Capital Investment Committee, the time is now to dig ourselves out of this hole and make sure that we are investing in these projects so that we can have good learning environments that are going to attract students and make sure that they are in the environment that they need to be in to get the education that they need to have to succeed. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Wolgamott, there was a time when this committee hit the road and the committee would go out and it would parallel what the Capital Investment Committee would do, and our responsibility would be the programmatic side, and then we would also take a look at the capital side. I don't know if the budget that I was given in rules today would allow that, but I would certainly consider taking this committee on the road to seeing some of this. It's been long overdue that the pandemic had stopped us, but it's much better to be on site to see it. And if you don't know what a flat roof is, we'll articulate that for you again and again and again. So, Representative Davids, your first question or statement in the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And as an original member of the Flat Roof Society, I would move that we accept Dr. Olson as a member. We can take care of that later. Okay. One of the testifiers said that in this $349 million proposal, that there's no new buildings. Winona State, we just talked about the new building where Gildemeister Hall was. Am I disconnecting here? And if it's at Winona State, I'm fine with it. But on the one hand, we said there's no new buildings. On the other hand, sounds like there's a building going up where Gildemeister will have been.
Representative Mackey, Vice Chancellor Mackey.
Mr. Chair, Representative Davids, I did say in my testimony there's no new buildings, and the just to elaborate on a bit more, there's demolition of two existing buildings and then building a more efficient structure in the place of those two buildings. So the overall square footage is being reduced in the campus footprint.
So
Mr.
Chair, there is a new building being built, replacing the two, but like I said at Winona State, that's fine.
For those of you that don't know, Representative Davids is a Winona State graduate, so there's that connection.
Did his shirt color have anything to do?
Representative Cleburne, I'm sorry, what was that?
The shirt color he's wearing today, does that have anything to do with it?
It might, and I think he purchased that when my wife was working at the bookstore at Winona State. There's that connection, too. Any further questions, members? Representative McDonald?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Is this the last presentation? Are we going to noon?
No, this is I wasn't sure how long this would take, and I believe the governor's recommendations, I was told, are coming out today for bonding. We won't have them before the committee, but I didn't want to start something today that we couldn't finish, so I wasn't sure how many questions we would have.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, then, if I may continue.
Yes, Representative McConnell.
So, Vice Chancellor Mackey, enrollment's down with 31% over the last 10 years. It's expected to go down another 3.8% this year, this school year. And although as a businessman and businesswoman, you have to spend money to make money, so I completely recognize that. But in the last three committee hearings, I think we've only heard the requests for the $350 million and projects. And it's probably wise, certainly, to spend some money to attract the students to grow, as Chancellor Malhotra had stated. But I haven't heard anything about what the institutions are doing to cut expenses or save money, other than President Olson from Winona, who said the current building taken down and the new one will save over the long term utilities and energy, which is a grand idea. But can you share with us if any plans of tightening the belt, like many businesses have had to do over the last two, 3 years, and many years since the recession going back to 2008 and 2009, doing to tighten their belt, cut expenses, should you not get the $350 million asked. So if you could expound a little bit on that and what the institutions are doing to be more fiscally responsible. And furthermore, not necessarily, one of the statistics is that Minnesota would like 70% of its adults from post-secondary degree. And that certainly seems like a good idea. Right now we're at 50% or in the mid-50%. I presume the other 50% perhaps are in the trades building our state. Could you speak about that as well?
Vice Chancellor Mackey.
Mr. Chair, Representative McDonald, may have to get back to you on the enrollment numbers that that you ended your question with, but I can certainly speak to the financial planning and budgeting that's happened and is happening across the system. And I would start with that, even if our request is fully funded at $350 million, there will be colleges and universities that are still making budget reductions due to the enrollment. And there has been budget reductions that have consistently been made over this whole time period, the 2013 to 2022 data. And each college and university is at a different stage in the process as they've adjusted to this new enrollment reality. In the biennial budget information that we have to provide on a two-year basis, we reported that we had $38.7 million in reductions as a system in 2021 related to that. And then in 2022, it was a similar amount of about $30 million. So each college and university is continually doing this. And I can speak from my experience during this time period of being on campus, both as a president and a vice president of finance, that the funding that we as a system ask for from the state helps fund our inflationary costs. But as a leader on campus, adjusting to enrollment losses happens on a continual basis. So each one of the presidents has to make tough decisions every year, and we've seen budget reductions consistently over that time. We're not coming with this request to make ourselves whole, because it won't. We'll still have reductions that happen, but it will go a significant part in helping alleviate some of the stress we have, as well as being able to build back up some areas to stabilize or increase enrollment. As Chancellor Malhotra and Senior Vice Chancellor Green-Steven presented in the two previous sessions in front of this committee.
Vice Chancellor, I have a request. I've been told, because I do meet regularly with both Winona State and then Southeast Tech, that even if you got your full budget request, there would have to be budget reductions. Can you give us that in the future, campus by campus, that if this full request were funded, campus by campus, how much would they still have to cut?
Mr. Chair, certainly we can compile that information more specifically by going campus by campus. But it Winona State's experience is similar to many others.
Representative McDonald.
Mr. Chair, I just had a follow-up real quick, and maybe this is a question to you. I only have a two-year degree from Hennepin Technical Center, which I see your new president, my good friend, Joy Bodine, is here. So perhaps you should ask someone with a 40 degree, because I'm only a 2-year degree, and I say that just tongue-in-cheek. But we're taking numbers from a pandemic, you know, the drop and the decline in students for the last 2 years, and we hope and pray that they will certainly come up. But is it wise right now to ask for that kind of a funding to grow the students again, looking at the percentage of it, the decrease in enrollment over the last 2 years, knowing what we went through with the pandemic? Are we putting the cart before the horse, if you will?
Representative McDonald, I'm going to answer that. I requested that the systems produce 10 years. So they went back to 2013. And in 2013, we were already getting an indication that there was a problem with enrollment. And there were two views that were being presented to this committee. One was that it would go away because of an increase in high school students, and the other was they really didn't know. So if you take a look at the two charts that were presented, this is a 10-year glimpse, not just a 2-year glimpse, it's 10. And when we take a look at the University of Minnesota, not the main campus, but the outer campuses, you're gonna get a 10-year glimpse there, and also with the private colleges. So it's a 10-year picture we're looking at, not two. The pandemic didn't help, but this has been going on for a decade.
I knew I asked the right man for the question. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Plevorn.
Thank you. And Mr. Chair, I would say we talk about student enrollment, but there's also an economic impact for the communities around each of these institutions. And I think as we're talking about, you know, potential cuts, investments, and all of that, I think it's important to look at what it does for the region as a whole as well. because the employment, the entire economic impact and what that adds to the local economy, I think needs to be factored in as we also make our funding and budgetary decisions. So thank you.
Representative Cleburne, you make an excellent point, and I also get that information when I meet at Winona State or the Tech College also. Representative Hicks.
Thank you so much, Chair. And also Winona State, so.
Okay, who paid to be on this committee? That's what I want to
always know. Purple. I've come back to the slide that you all presented a while ago that has the tuition costs going back from 2002 until now. And I've looked over it and I've scribbled all over it multiple times because I was a freshman in 2001, 2002 at Winona State. And so I've looked at what I paid for tuition. And I was blessed enough to come from a family where I didn't have to worry about how to pay for tuition. And so I look at what I paid for tuition in 2002, and then I have a freshman at Winona State this year. And I look at what he's paying now in 2023. And the increase there is huge for me. And it makes me think very much about what you shared, Representative. I feel like I got off really lucky at how much the taxpayers of Minnesota supported my education, and I am so grateful for that contribution. And when I look at what we're asking students and families to do now, and then we talk about enrollment, I don't know how we separate those two things. When we are making the costs of attending so much more challenging, and then simultaneously saying, well, gosh, we got to get more kids to enroll without also having those larger conversations. So I don't actually have a question. I just sort of wanted to say that this particular chart has kind of haunted me since we reviewed it the first time. And I just want to acknowledge that we can't separate enrollment and tuition.
Representative Hicks, I believe the origin of that chart was President Darrell Kruger at Winona State University. He is the first to have developed that chart and then given it to the system. Representative Doerr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As we sit here, the governor's already released his the bonding capital investment. As I go through this numbers, you know, 213.6 general obligation and also 47.6 for the user financing. Just wanted to get your quick prompto, you know, reaction. What will that mean for the Min State?
Vice Chancellor Yolitz, or this might be a little bit difficult to do on the fly. I don't really like on the fly situations, but here we are.
Mr. Chair and Representative Nord, those sound like pretty strong numbers. So I'll have to dig into the details on what that looks like. It sounds, if I might, let's see if I can go back here to our original slide. So I believe what I heard you say is 290 million in GO and then 58 million in user financing.
213.6 GO and 47.6 user financing. That's total of 261.2 total.
I think we'll have, Mr. Chair, Representative, I'll have to go back and do some math, so I apologize. But it sounds...
You notice the planning of this committee was such that we were doing this simultaneously with the release of the government budget. I just want to point that out. And that's staff's work, not mine. Yeah. Who else? Representative Nur, do you have anything else on that?
No, I think we need to have further conversation in terms of looking at the user financing. This is significant, almost $50 million added on top of what we're funding. So I'm glad that you're bringing that conversation forward. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Colton.
Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I just wanted to start off by, I understand obviously a lot of folks, including me, are pretty new, but did want to thank previous iterations of this committee for the investment that they made in Normandale Community College. I had a chance, I obviously live very nearby, and my mom actually taught at Normandale Community College for 39 years, and had a chance to visit campus again shortly before we were sworn in, and the facilities there are really serving students and staff and faculty extremely, extremely well. So very grateful for that. And, you know, I think Representative Wolgamott's comments and Representative Hicks' comments really sort of struck a chord with me, because one thing I, you know, as we look at just about every chart, it feels like in this committee and as we talk about a number of other things, what I see is sort of a pattern of the phrase I've sort of arrived at is systematic disinvestment or underinvestment. And what ends up happening, you know, we heard comments in this committee the other day, you know, a 3% or 3.5% tuition increase, that's not such a big thing over 1 year. And maybe it's not, but when that's over 10, 15, 20 years, it adds up. And, you know, when we see this underinvestment in asset preservation, sort of the basic building blocks of, you know, classrooms and facilities that students and staff and faculty are using, that all adds up, and it adds up into this skyrocketing cost of higher education at all levels, not just four-year colleges and universities, but the two-year, the community and technical colleges too. And that makes a big difference. That is holding folks back. And so, you know, I know obviously we operate on a two-year budget cycle, so there's only so much we can do kind of in the out years, but I think that's just a concern that needs to be raised and needs to frankly be raised a lot, that we need to think beyond just the 2 years, what the choices we make here and now mean 5, 10, 20 years down the line. So thank you.
Vice Chancellor Mackey.
Mr. Chair, with your permission, could I make a comment related to information Representative Cleavorn provided previously? I think I have some relevant information that might be helpful for the committee.
Absolutely.
Earlier this week at our, thank you, Mr. Chair, at our Board of Trustees meeting, Minnesota State released the results of its latest economic impact study. And Minnesota State drives over $8.4 billion to the state economy, creates 62,125 jobs, and is responsible for one out of every $42 in Minnesota's economy. And I'm sure we'll be sharing that information. Each college and university has their own economic impact report, but I just wanted to share that information as I thought it was relevant to Representative Cleavorn's comments. So thank you.
And I believe we have in our packets the campus breakdown that also illustrates that campus by campus. I believe that was put into the packets several weeks ago, actually. Oops, it's not in today. We'll stick it back in. It was in. I thought it stayed in, but it must have migrated out. So
thank you very much for the information.
Any further questions? Members, we're going to have a full presentation from the Office of Higher Ed on the governor's budget and capital budget so we can compare it. If you haven't seen the governor's proposal on his budget, it's an interesting one. I still don't understand it, but hopefully by the time of the hearing, I will. And then on his capital budget also with Representative Noor's comments. So if anyone has any other questions or concerns, we are going to end early today. That's all right. Seeing none, and meeting is adjourned.